down. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner talking home run. Touchdown. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner like.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 2 of the Monday Report. I'm your host, H. James K. This time we are talking about college football and the need for name, image, and likeness, plus the drawbacks. To get us started, we have to talk about college football before NIL and the transfer portal. I remember growing up watching the doldrums of Michigan football with Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke, and always admiring how amazing Denard Robinson was back in those days. There were times where he was the sole bright spot for Michigan. He was the only source of entertainment value or any kind of redeeming quality at all. But he never made a dime while he was at Michigan. 4 years. He was there for 4 years, and he was a superstar for 3 of those. But he never made a dime. And he had a nerve injury his senior year, and it prevented him from having a good NFL career because he lost sensation in his right hand. So he couldn't throw, he couldn't hardly catch, and he couldn't hardly hold on to the ball. So for a guy like Denard Robinson, football didn't give him any wealth. There was no riches to be made or anything. There was no making money off of his superstardom, which was really sad. And we've seen so many players like this over the years. You know, there was Reggie Bush and all these other guys, you know, Terrell Pryor and Maurice Claret and so many guys who were great, who were absolute superstars, who never made a dime. And if they did, they was totally illegal and their teams got punished for it. This is all to say, paying players is long overdue. Admittedly, the NCAA probably should have done this in like 2005. Just headed off this whole thing and gotten out in front of it. But much like Capitol Hill, the NCAA was intent to bury their head in the sand, kick the can down the road, and just go, well, that's a problem for next year. That's a problem for next year. That's a problem for next year. On and on and on. And now, it's 2025, and NIL is an absolute madhouse. So, this all boils down to the fact that the NCAA is weak. Without a doubt. The NCAA couldn't win a lot, can't win a lawsuit to save their life right now. They lose everything. Because they don't have antitrust exemptions, and yet they break the antitrust laws of the United States all the time. The NFL has antitrust exemptions, which allows them to do some of their kind of, how do I even describe it? Like the draft and the restrictions on free agency and all that stuff. So for the NCAA, I mean, look at what happened with Tennessee. Tennessee has multiple level one violations and they got a slap on the wrist. My Michigan Wolverines, I'm a Michigan Wolverines fan. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Michigan native, so I'm biased. But Michigan committed multiple level one violations and is a repeat offender. And yet, the overwhelmingly likely end result of the Connor Stallions thing is a slap on the wrist and a big fine. They're not taking away any wins. They're not going to take away any scholarships. They're not going to ban Michigan from the postseason because the NCAA has no teeth. LSU commits a penalty. They get a slap on the wrist. Ohio State admits when they get a slap on the wrist. Mizzou gets one. They get punted into low Earth orbit. All right, that's a joke, but you know, the meme is always that Mizzou gets punished when everyone else commits NCAA violations. But in reality, the NCAA can't do anything right now. And that's only going to get worse. And the problem with this now is there are technically rules about like tampering and when and pay for play. Like theoretically, you're not supposed to negotiate NIL deals with high schoolers, but that's exactly what happens. And it's one of these things where what we're seeing now is like Bryce Underwood, number one quarterback in the country, number one overall player in the country at the time, committed to LSU, been committed to LSU. And then Michigan says, here's a dump truck full of money. You want to come play for Michigan? And he went, yep. Now, should high school players be negotiating NIL deals in high school for when they're before they even get to college? That's its own separate discussion. But what it allows is it breeds this culture of poaching, this lawlessness, where you can talk to anybody at any time, anywhere, no recourse, no repercussions, and ultimately it hurts the game. Like, Iowa got a massive high school five-star O-line commit, decommitted from Bama to go play for Iowa, and he was there less than an offseason as a freshman, but players at Alabama kept texting him, and he was on behalf of the coaching staff, and he was tampered with. And eventually, he just jumped in the portal and transferred to Bama because he had a better NIL offer, and he wanted to play for Bama. So he just left Iowa high and dry. And it's to the point now where, like, the University of Nebraska has canceled their spring game. Because, as Matt Rhule stated, why would I put on a showcase of our best young player so other teams can poach them via the transfer portal? Because spring game season happens before the spring transfer portal window opens. So what ends up happening is you have the spring game. Some fifth-string wide receiver really balls out, catches a 55-yard pass, and runs a reverse, and he really shows out, but he's buried on the depth chart. Well, what's to stop Rutgers from calling the LSU and saying, hey, we can offer you some NIL money, and you can be a starting wide receiver here, but you can't tell anyone that's how you got this deal. And then he goes, okay, and he jumps in the portal, and he transfers to Rutgers. What happens to LSU? You know what? Now, the first team is left high and dry, and there's nothing they could do about it because there's no contracts to keep these players in town. Like Jim Harbaugh, at the height of his power at Michigan, left because he wanted to win a Super Bowl, but also recruiting sucks. You're constantly having to re-recruit your own players, like Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley was a head coach at the college level, and he left to be an NFL defensive coordinator because he didn't want to recruit. He was tired of the never-ending recruiting cycle of college football. And this problem is only getting worse. Chip Kelly, another one, he wasn't a college head coach, became a college offensive coordinator at Ohio State, and now he's the offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders because tampering and the portal and NIL and all of this stuff has just created this environment of lawlessness. It's the damn jungle out there, and it's unsustainable. It is hurting the game. Ultimately, what we know, that the House settlement is coming. Pay for play is coming. And with pay for play, I'm hoping we'll see some changes to the structure of college football and how people are paid, and maybe we can start clawing back some of the lawless, wild, wild west nature of college football right now in the year 2025. Possible changes that could be made. I think ultimately a lot of the structure is going to have to come from the conferences, because and if not from the conferences, then the conferences themselves are going to have to form some new governing body with power, with teeth. If the NCAA can't enforce the rules, then the conferences are going to have to build some new structure with teeth that will allow them to enforce the rules themselves. Now, there is another way this can get solved, another way that I don't think is awfully likely, but that would be if Congress was to get involved and then Congress made some new law that came up with a new college football environment. But without getting into politics, I don't think Congress could, you know, scratch their own ass if they took a vote on it. So I doubt help is coming from Congress in any way. So it's going to have to come from the conferences and the schools coming together and making something that will fix the problem before the problem gets worse. Because if it gets any worse, if it gets any worse than it is now, then it's not college football. It's just minor league professional football. Now, it's that already to an extent, but it doesn't have to be. The game that we all love doesn't have to lose any more of its soul than it does, than it has already. These kind of changes are possible. Now, what I think is ultimately going to happen is I think we're going to get this NCAA dog and pony show for another probably 5 years, along with this new revenue sharing model. It isn't pay for play. Like I said earlier, it's a revenue sharing model where the actual revenue that the college teams make, a percentage of that is then paid to the players. So that, assuming the house settlement is agreed upon and like things happen, that is going to give some guardrails and some structure, but it's still not going to be enough without some kind of means to enforce the new rules. Ultimately, there is no answer for this topic. This is, you know, we got to the end of the movie, and the end of the story hasn't even happened yet. You know, the credits are rolling, but, well, cliffhanger, because we just don't know. And that's the kind of the intriguing and frustrating part about this discussion, because we all know changes have to be made, but no changes are coming, not fast enough. And it's all about patience and playing the long game and helping to maintain the game we all love until those big changes finally happen. Now, this is episode 2. The next one's coming up. Episode 3, the game was rigged from the start, perceptions of officiating in sports. Episode 4, Absolute Cinema, the good and bad traits of sports films. And in that one, we're going to break down the good and bad things certain sports movies do. And there'll be a combination of baseball, football, and various racing films. And we'll go through those movies and make some assumptions and make some conclusions. And then the fifth episode for today, Monday, February 17th, 2025, is Daytona Days, thoughts on the Great American Race, discussing yesterday's Daytona 500. So for those of you on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. For those of you on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I thank you for listening. Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving your time of day to listen to me ramble on. All right, that'll wrap it up. Until next time.